Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. I'm going under the capes of bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, and other entrepreneurs to find out how they've built a following around doing what they love. I'm your host, Tim Lutie, and today we're going under the cape of Nerdy Curiosities. How's it going, entrepreneurs? I hope everyone had a great weekend. I am still recovering a little bit from New York Comic Con last weekend, but it did not mean this was a restful weekend for me. I spent it playing football and golf with my buddies. We also played the board game Crazy Carts, which is an awesome time. Definitely recommend that game. My guests this week are Nerdy Curiosities, Ronnie, Jamie, and Rachel. And Nerdy Curiosity is an awesome blog that covers all kinds of nerd culture. They have some great sections, Nerdy Designs, which cover crafts, nerd fashion, cosplay, nerd accessories. And Jamie covers that section. She is also their podcast editor. Their Nerdy Reports section, which is primarily written by Ronnie and Rachel, covers your weekly news recaps on everything nerd news related, movies, TV, and everything in between. And Nerdy Eats, which is primarily written by Jen, the fourth member of their team, which covers different food and drink recipes and nerd related. And I got to talk this week. So Nerdy Curiosity started from the push to get Nerd HQ to come back to San Diego Comic-Con. It created this community, and the three people I get to talk to today, Ronnie, Jamie, and Rachel, were part of that community, helped grow that community, and eventually, and it ended up leading to Ronnie creating a blog, which, after looking for some help, she brought on Jamie and Rachel, who also we get to talk to, and Jen, who wasn't able to make it for this interview, but who's the fourth member of the team. Since then, they've grown the blog into a lot of great different sections, like the ones I mentioned. They also have a non-podcast that you can follow on YouTube, where they interview a lot of other great nerds in different professions and from different perspectives, which is really cool. They also do reviews and cover cons. Really great site and social networks to follow. A lot of cool information, a lot of cool viewpoints, and it was really fun talking to them. They talk about kind of what their initial goals were and how they've each found the things that they're passionate about and brought that to Nerdy Curiosities. We also talk about the con community as a whole, which they're a major part of, and the things that they created before eventually creating Nerdy Curious. So it's a really fun interview with Ronnie, Jamie, and Rachel. Let's dive right in. All right, so I'm now joined by Nerdy Curiosities. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Sure, no problem. Excited to be
Thanks
here.
For having us.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys got involved in the nerd community and how that became Nerdy Curiosities?
Well, we first started back when Zachary Levi started the I Want My Nerd HQ campaign. If you don't know what that is, there was one year that he was having difficulty making Nerd HQ happen because sponsors dropped out. So he decided to reach out to the fans and see if a crowdfunding campaign would work. And a lot of us started contributing to it on Twitter. And because it was a mutual cause that we were all passionate about, we all started corresponding with each other, mostly on Twitter. And then we met for the first time at Nerd HQ and became really good friends. Now we're like family. And Ronnie actually started the blog herself, and it was just a place for her to post about nerdy whatever was going on in her life that she was passionate about and nerdy topics. And one day in our messenger group, she kind of expressed that she was feeling a little overwhelmed and didn't know what to do with it. And I think the three of us all said, we'd like to help you. We'd like to write for you if you're cool with that. And Nerdy Curiosities was born.
Awesome. And yeah, it's grown a lot since then, from kind of just a basic idea of helping each other out to you've really all organized your own kind of niches on the site. How did that come about?
When I started, initially it was called A Nerd Girl's Quest. And I had initially outlined a few topics that I liked to focus on. And I knew, like Jamie said, like I was starting to get overwhelmed. And the nerd family that we accumulated from the Twitter campaign and everything was like a good 20, 30, 40 of us. So I just kind of sent this call out there, and I was lucky that these three amazing girls responded and were interested, and each one of them came with their own interest and passion. So Jamie immediately voiced interest in doing fashion-related stuff, cosplay-related stuff, crafting-related stuff, and Rachel and I shared a passion for more social commentary regarding nerd culture and doing reviews on films and shows. And Janine has always been the foodie. Like, she's obsessed with food. So there was no one better to write about food than her. So it just all kind of fell into place. And the whole point was just everyone doing something that they enjoyed doing and not being forced to write about something that they didn't care about.
Yeah. So when you were on your own, what was the focus of the site then, or what was kind of the goal when you, and did you initially just plan on it being kind of a solo blog before you realized some help would be appreciated?
Yeah, you know, it was a long time ago, and I have a terrible memory, but I think at the time it was just really random, and it was just things. I'm obsessed with a lot of stuff, and movies and shows, and collecting was always a thing for me, but I started to see myself branching out into a lot of different directions, and I could see it just spiraling. And I have a day job. I'm a graphic designer, so I have very limited hours to do anything outside of my work. I started seeing myself not being happy with doing the stuff that I was supposed to be enjoying. And so I immediately started to find solutions for that. And I'm a really, like, I'm a control freak at heart. So it took a lot for me to be like, you know what? I need help. And if I want this to be great, then I need to find people that I trust. And as soon as I met these three in particular, but it's a very large nerd family. As soon as I met everyone, it was such a soulmatey thing that I just knew that I could trust all of them with my life, let alone a blog. So
yeah, we really lucked out.
Yeah, no, we did get lucky. I mean, something that everyone should take to keep in mind about the nerd community is that there are some ridiculously friendly people. Like, we all started to talk to each other online. We had never met in person before. I started making plans to go to San Diego Comic-Con my first year, when we all first met, with a girl from Ireland that I had never met and I shared a room with.
Wow.
Either one of us could have been a serial killer. Didn't know. You know, it's just one of those things where, like, we did everything that we were warned about when we were kids not to do. But we took a gamble, and obviously it all kind of lucked out. But, yeah.
So making friends online is a good thing.
You know, sometimes. We won't say it's an all-the-time thing, but if you get a good feeling about people and you follow your instincts, it should lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, awesome.
And yeah, you mentioned you're a graphic designer. Were you the one who designed the site? Because it has a great look. Like, I love the logo. I love how you've separated, like, the different images for Nerdy Designs, Nerdy Reports, Nerdy Eats. Were you the one who created all of that?
I designed the initial identity with a lot of feedback from the girls. I knew that I wanted something... we got the name, and I really wanted to figure out what would be a good icon for Curious. And there's a lot of things that we toyed around with verbally, but it was definitely a collaboration as far as the idea went. And then the monocle, we came up with the monocle, and I organized a few logo concepts, and we ended up using Rachel's favorite font because she's a design nerd as well. And but Rachel did the entire website. I can't take any credit for that. So
awesome.
Yeah. So
very cool. And yeah, since then, like, the blog is doing amazing. And since then, you've kind of expanded into the Nerds Are Us, which is a really cool non-podcast podcast.
is it really cool? Is it? yeah, I don't really know what to say about Nerds R Us. It is still very much the non-podcast podcast. We don't feel like it's evolved much from when we started, but as I'm sure you know, like, podcasting is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And with as much as we post weekly, I think we started to get a little overwhelmed by just how much work it was. We still like to do it. We're just not doing it as consistently as we were initially, because we were putting so much focus on it. And we started to get interviews very regularly. But again, because of our time zones and incorporating another person's time limitations on it, it started to get really difficult to organize. And I don't know about the rest of the girls, but sometimes I get anxiety over, like, doing the interviews themselves. That's the nerd in me, where I'm just like, oh, talking to strange people. it just became kind of a challenge. And because it started to get overwhelming, our main goal in anything that we do at NC is, as long as we're happy and we're having fun doing it, then we will do it and continue to do it. And it started to become just too much, and it started to kind of, the fun started to come out of it. So we pulled back a bit. Not that we're completely abandoning it, but it's definitely a challenge. And consistency is the most important thing in podcasting. So that's also why we call it the non-podcast podcast.
Yeah.
But again, it's there. And if you like to listen to nonsensical babble, then have at it. But we have some really cool interviews, I do have to say. We got lucky on a bunch of them, but it is still very free form. So.
Yeah, I definitely feel the stress of, like, getting guests and organizing the schedule around them, because it is consistency is definitely a big part of podcasting. And it's not just, you know, can you guys organize time together? It's, can you get a guest together and get everyone, like, will we have a show this week? It's definitely a little more stressful.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
I think initially Nerds R Us was kind of our way to keep in contact with the friends that we all made at at Comic-Con. And so initially we were just doing it for ourselves so that we could just have a scheduled time to talk to our friends. And then we decided to put it up on YouTube and people actually listen to them. So I'm hoping one day we'll go back to a more regular, scheduled non-podcast thing because I miss the early days where we just talk about random things. So one day.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys have kind of gone back to that a little bit. I know you're not on a regular schedule anymore, but you did your D23 and SDCC wrap up. You did some other podcasts or some other Nerd R Us episodes, not podcasts, where it was just the group of you talking kind of casually. Are those the ones you enjoy more and kind of see doing more of?
Those are definitely easier to do regularly. And I mean, a lot of times we generally have nerdy conversations anyway about any particular topic, if like a new movie comes out and whatnot. So it's just, if we're already having the conversation, it's a lot easier to just press record at that point. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind doing the interviews, because a lot of times when you're interviewing someone, especially someone officially in the nerdy industry, you learn a lot about not only the nerdy industry and just how versatile it can actually be, but you end up learning quite a bit about your own personality. Mm-hmm. And generally, I think the majority of nerds are very introspective, kind of quiet people, and a lot of times they don't ask questions for themselves. And it's kind of like we learn by observing a lot of times. At least that's a common trait that I've come across from everyone that I've met. But it's definitely a useful tool. And it's helped me come out of my shell quite significantly, because it did. There's a high level of anxiety when going into a new environment and just kind of getting thrown in and talking to complete strangers. And as a designer, I have to give presentations to random people, so it's actually definitely helped me with my day job, too. So I recommend it. If anyone is shy, start a podcast.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those introverts, so doing this has definitely helped me. I've gotten better at this, but I've also just been, like, talking to normal people throughout my day has been better.
It's good practice.
Yeah.
And how did you get most of the guests you mentioned? Is it through the kind of Nerd HQ group that you created, or how have you kind of found the people that have been on Nerds R Us?
Dan, do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Sure. Initially, when we started it, we interviewed a lot more of our friends, people that we know. So yes, it did start off with our Nerd HQ group. And then as time went on, we started actually being able to book people that are a little more like Rachel got to talk to a female astronaut. We got to talk to Ming Chen from Comic Book Men. And, you know, reaching out, sometimes you got to take risks. And we reached out to people via Twitter and things like that. And that's how I was able to get Mark Christopher Lawrence. And we did a written interview with Vic Sahai. And, you know, sometimes just go for it. Take a risk. What's the worst they can say is, no, I don't have time to do an interview. But they might say yes. So.
I mean, no one is going to, like, throw water in your face. So, like, by any means, like, just ask. Like, that's, like, the main thing. Like, as far as, like, a lot of the interviews that we got, especially during Comic Palooza in Houston, what year was that? Was that 2 years ago? Something like that? That was through the bloggers group. When we applied for press, where they kind of mm-hmm. gave us a list of people who were willing to do interviews. and I just jumped on as many of them as I possibly could. That was actually the most hellish 2 weeks leading up to the con and like after the con, because we were like gung-ho. I'm the only one here in Houston, so just trying to organize everything, doing all of like the photography and writing stuff, and they helped me as much as they could, and everyone tried to schedule to do all of these interviews back to back to back, but it was important to just hit that con hard. And then for one of my favorite interviews was with PJ from Con Man, and Janine just had like the guts to go up to him at SDCC at the booth and just say, "Hey, we're a blog. We'd love to, you know, interview you." And he said yes. So it's just ask. Mm-hmm. Most they can say is no.
Awesome.
And yeah, so you mentioned you were the only one actually at Comic Palooza working it. But you guys usually are able to attend like some of the bigger cons as a group?
We do our best.
So do you usually have a mission, or I know it kind of started as you were all just fans of convention. Are you now going with like a mission for Nerdy Curious? Or are you still just your Nerdy Curiosities? Or are you still just fans that happen to have a blog as well? What's the...
I think it's more of the latter, where it's still just... Like, number one, it's a family reunion of sorts, because everyone decides we're all going. It's our one time of year where we can all be together. Perfect locale, because it's San Diego, it's California. I mean, you know. And, but I think this year was our first year where we were really, our second focus is for the blog. So we didn't hang out as much as we would have liked with a lot of our friends. We all managed to stay together, which was great. So we would see everyone in the evenings as much as we possibly could. But for the most part, it was just the four of us and Rich, Jamie's husband, running around and covering things for the blog.
Awesome. And yeah, you mentioned hitting that press sheet and just reaching out to people ahead of time. Was that reaching out to them? Like, how did you organize that as far as getting interviews during conventions? Or was that your goal, or were you reaching out for them to interview before or after? What was the outreach there?
It kind of worked out that you get the press sheet. If it's organized beforehand, you get the press sheet with the listing of people who know for sure that they're going to be available for certain interviews and that they're going to allot either like an 8 a.m. interview group or like a 2 p.m. interview group. And you sign up for it. If you get in on time, then you can go and sit at a round table, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are others who kind of file in during the convention. And we happened, again, like I happened to be part of a Facebook group that was managed by like the leader of like the press corps. And they let us know when people became available to do interviews or were interested in doing interviews at their booths or somewhere else. And so it was kind of a random process, and it was just like, pick and choose who you're interested in. Obviously, the bigger names aren't as readily available, which is who everyone wants to talk to anyway, but, you know, we're not Entertainment Weekly, so.
Yet.
Yet.
And so were you guys pressed for San Diego Comic-Con this year?
That is a negative. We are not big enough yet. But, you know, I mean, we go, we have fun, we still do coverage like we would if we actually were. we do try to experience as much as we possibly can. So we don't, we haven't done like the large panels at SDCC. Mm-hmm. Plus those were covered like down to the T by like 5 million other, you know, entities. So is it, you know, is it really necessary for us to cover the really large panels too? Everyone's just downloading the same data anyway. So we'd rather do stuff that's a little bit more obscure. And actually like just how do you maneuver through a convention like that? Like it could get really overwhelming, especially for newbies. And yeah, D23 too was also just, that was the only one where we're like, okay, we're going to do the big panel.
Yeah.
That was an experience, and I'm not sure I'm ever going to do that again.
I heard that was like a full, like, must camp out, like, just as hard as Hall H to get into.
Yeah. It's definitely a style. Like, if you're totally into doing that kind of thing, then you'll have a blast. I'm old, so.
To tag on to what Ronnie said, I think with getting an official press pass, there's a big responsibility to deliver on certain criteria. Finding the balance of enjoying yourself at the con and having the responsibility to cover it at the same time is really difficult. So we get to cover it the way we want to cover it when we don't have an official press pass. I feel like we can be more objective in what we say about the convention because we weren't kind of given the pass to cover it. So I feel like we have a different perspective when we report how D23 was, how SDCC was, and it gives us a different perspective in terms of our content. So
there's yeah, because you were able to talk about like what it was actually like to get into the D23 hall instead of like, oh yeah, we were in the press booth, here's what happened there. You already know that, but
yeah. And the press, if you're gonna do D23, I think getting official press passes is like really, really important if you want to go that route, because I mean camping out was fun in its own right, but I definitely don't think I want to do that again.
It got sketchy there for a second, because I mean, two people went down. It's like, you know, you need to hydrate. You need to rest. You need to eat. It's just it's a challenge, and I do sometimes wonder, like, people who get press passes regularly, and like as much as I would love to have that experience at least once, I wonder how much of a responsibility they feel of giving a positive review because they have the press pass. Because me personally, I know we're not married to the fact that, you know, we'll, if we say something negative about something, that we'll have, you know, great repercussions about not getting additional business or anything like that. So if I were to get a press pass to something, and Comic Palooza knows this, Fan Expo knows this, because they've given us press passes. If I have a shit time at your convention, I'm going to say I had a shit time at your convention. I really don't care if you gave me a press pass. I'm going to be honest. So, you know, luckily I've had positive experiences, but, well, I did have one negative experience, but side note. But yeah, I mean, it is just one of those things where we're just going to be honest, and that's what we'll deliver.
Yeah, I don't know if some people, they kind of have in the back of their head, like, if you slam this convention or something about it, like, maybe you won't get a press pass next year.
And that's fine. I'm like, it is what it is.
But I have spoken to people who, like you mentioned, Rachel, I think, an Englishman in San Diego mentioned he kind of feels that responsibility to, like, when he has press, he, like, wants to be covering everything, like, full-time job, and you don't really have that opportunity to be like 50% for press, 50% just a regular fan. Like,
yeah, it starts taking the joy out of actually going to conventions, and you don't want to be overconned, so mm-hmm.
which is a thing.
We have a nice balance, I think, because we get to enjoy it for what it is. We get to hang out with our friends, and we get to cover it the way we want to cover it. So it's the best of all three worlds.
And were you still able to experience the kind of sci-fi presents Nerd HQ? Because I know it seemed like Nerd HQ was gone, but they had bits of it at least. Was that a heartbreak for you guys?
It was initially a heartbreak because I was like, Nerd HQ is the main reason why we go to San Diego Comic Con, because that is like the main, it's our family reunion HQ. So it was initial heartbreak, but we knew that Dave and Zach would have a plan B, because they always usually have a plan B. They're dependable like that, those two. So we sadly did not make it to the sci-fi experience. I think that's one of my biggest regrets from this year. But we had so much going on. We had Conan one night, and we had never gotten Conan tickets before. And we had the Her Universe fashion show another night, which kind of ended up being around the same time. And that was amazing. And I would love to continue to cover the Her Universe fashion show. That was excellent. But yeah, we sadly missed the sci-fi.
We did go to the parties that night, though.
Oh yeah, some of y'all did, because I left early.
All right, yeah, at least you made the nighttime parties. Those are definitely a big highlight of the Nerd HQ experience.
It was a little crazier this year because the lineups were insane.
Yeah, and how was, I mean, I've never been to the Her Universe fashion show. That must have been awesome to cover, especially because you guys have the fashion side of the website that you do a great job at. It's not quite, I'm not quite the audience for it, but I still enjoy parts of it.
Yeah, you know, it's really, I wish we could venture more into like the dude side of nerd fashion, and it's starting to pick up, but there aren't that many, like, there's not that many options. Like, there's usually like really high end suits that are like nerd patterned and stuff. But, and like, you get the odd jacket here and there, but actually the dude nerd fashion side of things, they're really expensive pieces. They're more expensive than the girl side. And in the real world, it's the reverse. So payback, nerd guys. it was a lot of fun. It's kind of seeing like nerd couture, like it's the extreme fashion version of nerd stuff, and it's just the amount of creativity that comes from nerds is ridiculous in all aspects, but in fashion specifically, it's a very large canvas, so you get to see it magnified. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I've looked at some of the male like higher end nerd stuff, and it's cool, but it's definitely it hasn't reached my price point yet.
Yeah. It's intense.
But yeah, so you mentioned you like going to the smaller panels at the conventions. If you guys could do a panel at a convention, what would it be about?
We were joking earlier that we would do a panel about how not to be a dick. which is, I think it's quite relevant to today. I think we'd have bullet points and charts and, you know, really take it to a nerdy level about how to not take online comments seriously. How, you know, just be you, do the things that you love, do the things that you care about that bring you joy, and don't let anyone rain on your parade, and you should definitely not shit on anyone's parade. It's a very simple way to live. But it seems to be difficult for people to do that, so.
Yeah, have you had to deal with any trolls of Nerdy Curiosities?
We've had a couple, but we haven't had too many, so I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah.
We've had duplicate accounts on Twitter, which we were so excited about, and some of our friends were like, you guys made it! You have, you know, people faking your accounts. But no, we've... Our followers, a lot of them are friends, and we've started to gain traction with folks that we don't know personally, which is awesome. But we're definitely a slow burn. We're not crazy about, like, oh, we need to have, like, 2 million followers by tomorrow. It just needs to happen. Right. In one of our first Nerds R Us, our friend Sandrine interviewed us, and we've always focused on quality versus quantity. Like, as long as our followers are quality people, then we're happy. If it stays at whatever number we're at now, I don't even know how many followers we have. If we stay at that number for a while, I'm okay with that. You know, just as long as we attract good people, people with sense, people with good thoughts and ideas, and people who are nice to each other, then we're doing something right.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I think you said, gaining traction with people that you aren't, like, directly friends with. And it kind of seems like you're more prioritizing, like, deepening the engagement you have with the fans that you already have rather than growing more, like, kind of trying to get that raving fan base instead of a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's a, we'd like to keep people happy, and something that we'd like to continue as well is some of our giveaways. We still have actually a quite large giveaway pile that I still need to organize and get out there, but you know, it's kind of like a thank you for sticking with us, and we hope you continue to stick with us and appreciate the content. And we're open to feedback. You know, if anyone wants to give us advice or feedback on what they'd like to see or hear or read, then we're happy to oblige.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard the giveaways are, from other people, they've been really great ways to promote the site. Is that one of the best ways that you've found, or has it been through engaging with people on social media or meeting people at cons? Where have you found the most success in promotion?
I think that the most success has probably been word of mouth, honestly. And again, we have really amazing friends, and they've been great at spreading the word for us. At least that's when we initially started. We've had a lot of luck lately. I've noticed on Facebook, especially when we post something of interest, people are starting to tag other people, which is always great to see. But along with the word of mouth, like at conventions, we usually wear our Nerdy Curious t-shirts, and we do tend to see a spike whenever we post about conventions. I think that's a big interest for folks. So, we usually get an influx of followers around the con time. And then the giveaways do definitely help, but they're not everything. So, yeah. They're just a cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the conventions are always a great way to meet new people and meet the people that you followed, that follow you. I always struggle with, like, all right, like, this is, you know, a great one to get the word out. And then 3 days later, like, oh, I did nothing but, you know, focus on actually running around to panels and everything. And, like, struggle to actually promote the business. or the brand.
Yeah. Shirts help.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially shirts that make people go, hmm. Because ours say, nerdy curious with a question mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get questions. Which is what we want. Yeah.
Awesome. So, moving forward, where do you see Nerdy Curiosities going in the next few years?
As me personally, as long as we're still having fun and enjoying what we're doing and continue to evolve and incorporate new passions, I think we're at a win. If we can break even to where our website costs are covered, and that'd be an even bigger win. But you know, it's a passion project. So that in of itself is the most important thing. We all love each other. This is how we stay in contact. I mean, they're usually the first people I talk to when I wake up first thing in the morning, because our messengers are constantly on.
Yeah.
And since we're on different time zones, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning Central Time, and I usually have 52 messages from Pacific Time from the night before. So it's just, you know, as long as we're still happy, that's the most important thing. Do you girls want to add anything else to that? Do you have extraordinary visions for our baby?
As much as I'd love the blog to be a full-time job, I don't want that to be the only purpose. I agree with Ronnie. At the end of the day, it's about doing what we love and what we're passionate about.
Yeah, full-time work is a great goal, but then it's work.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things where like we do everything else where we try to find a happy medium. We just have to find a happy medium if we get there down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, finding that balance and making sure it's still an outlet from your regular job instead of just more work.
Yeah. What's your goal with your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion project for me as well. It definitely breaking even would be cool. But otherwise, yeah, it's been a great way to learn and meet other people, I think.
That's awesome.
It's definitely, you know, building that community has been the biggest value of it, which is, when I go to cons now, I get to know a lot more people and meet them and see what they're up to.
Yeah, it's an awesome community to be a part of.
Yeah. And it's, everyone has been, everyone's wicked friendly and, like, inclusive and inviting. Like, they're, like you said, nobody's throwing water in your face. Everyone's very, very welcoming.
The world would be a better place if the nerds ran the world.
Someday.
We'll take over.
Yeah. And that's the look at the future. Going back to the very beginning, do you guys remember the first blogs you created?
Rach?
I try not to remember the first blog that I created. I mean, my friends and I used to write a lot of fan fiction back in the day, but then we decided to write stories that incorporated all of us in like different time periods. So I wrote a 1920s like murder mystery with all of my friends as the characters in it.
What? I need to read this.
Yeah. I don't know where any of those files are anymore. I'll have
sure,
to
look sure.
I'm gonna Google that later.
But yeah, in the old days of Zanga.
Oh, goodness. Jamie, what about you?
I had a blog for a while called The Crafty Mom. It was just kind of a place to outlet, like, crafts and recipes, things that I did with my daughter, and then eventually it started to become a place for me to talk about what it was like to be the mom of a child with autism. And then life just got crazy, and I just didn't have time for it anymore. But it was fun while it lasted.
You've managed to incorporate quite a bit of the topics that you used to talk about in Tara Blog, which is, they've been great. And yeah. Ayla is adorable, and she's part of our Nerdy Curious as well, with her Nerdy Kids Corner, and she's just like the cutest thing.
Oh, nice. Yeah, has it been easier working in this blog than kind of doing your own blog, the Momcraft one, or Crafty Mom,
as far as kind of
sharing the load?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a lot easier because the pressure's off of me a little bit, sharing the load, and I don't have to be the only one coming up with content. And it's definitely, it's a lot nicer.
I had a travel blog with a friend of mine, and that was like my first introduction to the whole blogging thing. I had initially toyed with doing like a design focused blog, because I was following Design Sponge and This is Colossal, and I'm a big art geek as well. So I was like, I can do something like that. I'd love to do something like that. But because I have an attention span of like a third grader, and I'm obsessed with so many different things, I couldn't just put myself into one topic. So that's how the nerd thing came into play. And luckily they came in and they swooped in and saved me from like all of the ideas that were drowning me. So.
Yeah, and that's like we were talking about how awesome the nerd community as a whole is, but I really love the, like, specifically the makers in there. Like, I feel like most of the people I talk to, is this is just the current thing, and they've been doing like little projects or blogs or, you know, writing or crafting or cosplaying like their whole life. And those are the people I kind of most enjoy talking to, are the ones that are always up to something.
Yeah, it's always impressive, just the level of dedication. And you know, you see these people who like really made a career for themselves out of this one big passion. And you're like, damn, why didn't I think of that? Or why didn't I just push myself to do that? I know, like, we're huge fans of Karen Hallian, and just her art, and or even like Lord Mesa. They're amazing artists and people, and they have like this passion and this style that's uniquely them. Like, you know, it's them when you see their art. And it's always impressive to us. Just like, man, really take your thing and you take it this far and you're successful at it. You just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And you really establish yourself. And that's definitely an inspiration.
Yeah, just getting better over time, and even the things you've created in the past, to kind of brought the lessons from that into Nerdy Curiosities and made it even better. So it definitely seems like that's the path you guys are on as well.
We're trying. That's all we can do, is we're trying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this has been some great advice so far. Do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out building their own geek brand?
Rach, I'm going to throw you first here.
Oh, okay. I would say if you're going to do something, just go for it. Be consistent. And have fun. Because there's nothing worse than starting something that initially brought you joy and it turns into something that's just work. So, enjoy it.
Yeah, awesome. Great advice.
I'd say, again, just don't be afraid to ask for help. And there's a large amount of resources out there, and all you have to do is ask. Don't be afraid to ask. And you'd be surprised just how many people are open to sharing their wealth of knowledge and can help you not make the same mistakes that they did, because they've already troubleshooted the same problem that you've gone through. So I'd that would be my number one.
Yeah, I've talked to a few people and they've said, like, well, when we were first starting, I reached out to so-and-so and they sent me, like, everything, like this huge long email, or they sent me like all this stuff they created when they first started. Like, everyone's usually very open to helping out people who are just getting started.
Yeah, I would mirror what Ronnie and Rachel have said, and I would add to that, if you're starting out blogging, do it and continue to do it because you love it and it's what you like doing. Don't ever go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to be able to quit my job and do this full time and make lots of money. We've been at this for, what, 3 years now, girls? But we still love it. That's the important part.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part, to choose something that you can do, whether it sees any success or makes any money. It's as if you would have been doing it anyway and have fun doing it. Like,
that's an important thing.
Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been great. It's been so much fun talking to you guys. Where can people reach out to you and learn more and follow Nerdy Curiosities?
Nerdy Curious on Twitter, Nerdy Curious on Instagram, Nerdy Curiosities on Facebook. And you can always go to our website, nerdycurious.com. And if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at nerdycurious@gmail.com as well. But yeah, we're all over. So just like, follow, and all that jazz, as we say.
And you can listen to our Nerds R Us non-podcast podcast and check out Nerdy Kids Corner on our YouTube channel. Our username is Nerdy Curious.
Yes.
But yeah, awesome. Well, this has been great. Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate being on, because with all the questions that you've actually sent, it got us thinking on where we started, and it's a mm-hmm. good refresher of just how far we've actually come, because you kind of lose sight of it because you're living it. So it's great to have the opportunity to look back on it. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I definitely agree. You gotta look back every once in a while to realize the progress you've made. Well, yeah, this has been great. Thanks so much.
Thank
you for having us.
There you have it, guys. Awesome interview with Ronnie, Rachel, and Jamie from Nerdy Curiosities. I had a lot of fun talking to them. One of the things that I found particularly relevant to me was when we talked about how they've gotten guests for the podcast in the past. They mentioned, you know, just, you know, going right up to people at conventions and being daring with asking people for their time. They've gotten some amazing guests, and you know, as they said, it can be intimidating to approach people in that kind of a setting, but for the most part, people are really receptive to being interviewed, and to, you know, kind of sharing their knowledge and contributing and helping other people just getting started. I've found that, you know, reaching out to people on social, and especially just walking up to people at conventions and saying, you know, hey, can I have a minute or two of your time to for a quick interview. Everyone's been super, super receptive and responsive to it. And that's, I think, something that can be intimidating for people. And it's definitely still very intimidating for me, even though, you know, I haven't, you know, I haven't had anyone yell at me or tell me to, you know, go away yet. Everyone's been super nice. It's still, you know, kind of in the back of my head, the, you know, the concern with asking people and, you know, not wanting to bug people and yada, yada, yada. That's something that is, you know, it's something to get over, and it's something that I'm definitely still working on. And I think the Nerdy Curiosity crew has done a good job getting over, and they've gotten some great guests on Nerds R Us because they have been very bold, as they said, they've been, you know, willing to just go right up to people and ask. So that'll be something that I'll be working on always. I'm sure I'll always be a little bit nervous as I ask people for their time. And the other thing that I was kind of looking forward to working on this week was, this is the most people I've ever had on the podcast at one time by one person. So it was really great that, you know, so many of them were willing to come on. The most, so I've had two guests, which is a lot of fun, and I wasn't sure how a third guest would work, kind of playing off each other. And I think, luckily for me, they did a really good job of managing themselves. They do their own, you know, hostful episodes where they all four talk, so they were kind of used to sharing time together. And they were even nice enough. I gave them the questions ahead of time. They talked briefly about, you know, who might have the best insight for certain questions. So that was really great that not only, you know, nobody was talking over each other too much. I mean, that did happen, obviously, but that everyone had a chance to talk. It was another thing that I got to, a new thing that I got to do this week, which was really cool in my entrepreneur journey and in my kind of growing my experience as an interviewer. And it was great that I didn't end up having to do a whole lot in that respect, because Ronnie, Jamie, and Rachel were really great about you know, sharing the time amongst themselves. And it turned out to be a great talk. I hope you guys got a lot out of it. If you are interested in learning more about the Nerdy Curiosities team and following them, you can head over to nerdycurious.com. You can follow them on Facebook at Nerdy Curiosities, Twitter at Nerdy Curious. Their YouTube channel is Nerdy Curious. And you can follow them on Instagram at Nerdy Curious. And I'll put all of that, as well as links to everything else we talked about, in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode25. And as always, guys, thanks so much for making it this far in the episode. I really appreciate you listening and supporting the show. It definitely means a lot to me. One of the other things that I think Ronnie mentioned was that they are always open to feedback about how they can improve. So if you are followers of Nerdy Curiosities and you like what they produce, and you have some feedback for them, positive or negative, definitely send that over to them. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. And I would also love some feedback on my end. So, you know, if you have any ideas for how I can improve this show, or if you would just like to tell me how much you absolutely love it, I would love to hear from you. You can leave a rating or a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you happen to be listening from, or just reach out to me on Twitter at Under the Capes, Facebook at Under the Capes or on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. And yeah, once again, guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you will tune in next week, and I will see you then. Thanks.